Welcome to the Everyday Ultra Podcast, a show designed to help you level up your training, crush your races, and ultimately become a better endurance athlete every single day. Whether you're an endurance athlete as a hobby or someone who wants to be the best in the sport, this is the show for you. I'm your host, Joe Corcione, and thank you so much for listening. Now, let's get into it. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Everyday Ultra Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Corcione, and today we are talking all about the taper period. This is something that there is so many questions on because the taper can come with a lot of questions, right? And also a lot of fears too. Like, is this something that is detraining myself? Am I losing fitness during the taper period? How do I make sure to balance staying recovered and also not reducing my fitness and being well done? And also too, with the lack of running, it can be easy to feel like you are going crazy because you have a lot less time running and you love running if you're listening to this podcast. So I know a lot of people, including myself, can get the taper tantrums where you have so much more free time and you want to get out there and run, but maybe you're unsure of, how much do I run? Am I running too much in the taper? I will be answering all these questions and also be giving so many more proven guidelines on how to have the most amazing taper, the most effective taper when it comes to your ultra marathon. And this is based on not only my own ultra running experience, running ultras for many, many years and various different ultras. I also help many athletes who are going for their first or fifth or 10th ultra marathon taper into races to help them feel confident. But most importantly, we're going to be sharing, what did the studies say? What does the research say? Because when we can see what the research says on various trustworthy tests and studies, we can see what works for not just me, not just my athletes, but what the data shows in the studies that is most likely going to apply to most people. So we're going to have fun. We're going to dive into this and we're going to help you beat the taper tantrums with this episode here. Now, before we dive in, you know, this show is all about helping you be a better endurance athlete. And anytime I come across tools that help me be a better endurance athlete, I want to share it with you. And there's one tool that's been a game changer in the realm of nutrition for me, which has just been so game changing as I am training for the Cocodona 250 and over 250 miles, nutrition is important. And that goes the same thing for 100 miles, 100K, 50 miler, 50K, even marathon distance. And when you have the right nutrition, you ultimately prevent yourself from DNFing a lot more because the number one cause of DNF is actually gastrointestinal issues, or in other words, an upset stomach, whether it's coming out one way or another. That was disgusting. But regardless, nutrition is so important, and I've tested so many different nutrition products and types over my years of ultra running, and recently I found a line of nutrition products that has been not only the best that I've ever done as well, but I feel better, I perform better, I recover better, and I don't have any GI issues when I'm out there on the run, and these are the products from NAC. Now, NAC is a company designed specifically for ultra runners, whereas you get most running nutrition companies, they're actually designed for shorter distances, so more so like the marathon, half marathon, and sometimes what happens when you take those products over a long period of time, it upsets your stomach because it's designed to be for a shorter period. Nutrition products that are designed for longer periods have a mix of simple and complex carbohydrates, so you can get both types of carbs, both the fast burning and the longer burning carbohydrates. It has protein in it so it can help to recover your muscles because there's going to be a lot of muscular damage when you're doing an ultra marathon, and it has a lot more focus on electrolytes because hydration is just as important as nutrition when it comes to that. And NAC's products have all of those three things and more, so it's designed to help you go further for longer. They have a variety of different products. They have bars, they have waffles, they have hydration mixes, they have purees. My favorite is the watermelon hydration mix. It is so delicious. It has tons of sodium, tons of carbs, has some protein in it, and it is great and versatile for any experience as well. And I also like the apple and maple syrup purees, which are way better than a gel, have a much more natural consistency and taste to it, and just has all those things that I mentioned before. So I believe in this product so much that I want to give you a discount for NAC to try it out on your next ultra, and that is 15% off your next order when you go to NAC.com, which is NAAK.com, or go to the link in the show notes and use code EverydayUltra at checkout for 15% off your first order. That's 15% off your order by going to NAC.com, NAAK.com, or link in the show notes. Use code EverydayUltra at checkout for 15% off your order. Hope you give them a try and go on and feel better for your ultras as well. Also, real quick, too, another important part in the realm of hydration is having the right hydration equipment, right? And with soft flasks and bladders and everything like that, too. I remember one of the frustrations that I've had with hydration products like that is that they break, they don't last long. Maybe they're uncomfortable, like when I put it in my mouth or anything like that, they give me sores. But there is one line of hydration products that have been just so great, so versatile, and they have tons of products that not only fit my hydration needs, but also will last long and be comfortable on the go as well in any situation. Those are the products from Hydropack. Now, Hydropack is awesome for many reasons. Number one, the products are so durable and they have a guarantee on them as well that they're not going to break, but also at the same time, they're versatile and they can fit into different kinds of packs. So if you have soft flasks or bladders, they can fit into any type of pack, whereas if you're using a specific brand for a specific pack, it's not always going to work as well. So it will go with you on any vest, any belt, anything that you go onto, so you can be versatile on the run. And they have a variety of different products, soft flasks, handhelds, water bottles, even have water filters, which is perfect for the summer months coming up where you're going to have to filter water out there so you don't have to lug it all around as well. So I love Hydropack's products so much that I also want to give you a 20% discount for Hydropack as well. And all you need to do is go to the website, buy your bladders, soft flasks, any kind of hydration apparatus, get 20% off your order with the code EverydayUltra at checkout by going to hydropack.com. That's HYDRAPAK.com, or go to the link in the show notes. Use code EverydayUltra to get 20% off your order of Hydropack, and you can stay hydrated on the runs. All right, everybody, let's talk all about the taper. Now, what called me to do this episode is because I've gotten the question so many times from people saying, is the taper necessary? Or comments like, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my fitness. Or people saying, I don't even know what to do with all this extra time in the taper. The taper can really bring a lot of uncertainty and questions, and logically, I get it, right? You're usually running less in a taper, and that's really the word what taper derives from is less, right? And so when you run less, especially after going through very long periods of putting in tons of mileage, I get it. It can be easy to think that you are going to lose fitness and lose progress over a, you know, short period of time with the running as well. I will tell you that that is not the case. And that's actually the first and foremost thing that I want to mention on here. And this goes for not just the taper period, but it goes through any time where you maybe have to take less training, right? Maybe you're going on a work trip, or maybe you get sick, or maybe, you know, life is just crazy, and, you know, maybe you are dealing with family issues or anything like that. Like, regardless of those things, like the worry of detraining can pop up in not just the taper, but any scenario. And what the studies show is that it really takes a complete, notice the word there, complete training succession for several weeks to make a significant impact in your training as well. And so that means stopping entirely for several weeks, not one day, not, you know, reducing the volume, anything like that. A meaningful impact is really going to come in the form of detraining if you completely suspend training for several weeks. So that means if you're missing one or two workouts, then it's not going to make or break. If you need to take even a deload week, which is something that I recommend every athlete do to give their body a reset in times of hard period, it's not going to affect your fitness. If you decrease the volume going into a race, like we're going to talk about going into with taper periods, it's not going to affect your fitness at all. If a taper is done correctly, emphasis on done correctly, you will not lose fitness as well. Now, if you just completely don't work out, like in the taper period, then yes, you will likely lose fitness. But if you construct it in the way that's backed by studies and research and even shows that a taper period is going to increase your performance, how interesting is that? So it's gonna actually increase your performance. So first and foremost, I want to bust the myth that, you know, the less training in a taper period is going to affect your fitness, but you got to make sure to do it the right way. And in here, we'll talk about doing it the right way for sure, right? So I just wanted to get the big thing off the table. But why is the taper important, right? So I mentioned that it's going to increase performance, but I think it's really, really beneficial to understand the whys behind it increases performance. And we'll go into those metrics and those data, because here's the thing too, it increases performance, but probably not as much than you think. Whereas I think a lot of people can underemphasize the importance of a taper, I think also a lot of people overemphasize the importance of the taper. So it's kind of got to be a balance in there. We'll talk about that in a second, but let's just talk about the benefits of the taper first and foremost. So the real biggest and obvious reason why a taper could be beneficial is it's going into the race as fresh as possible. But what's actually happening behind the scenes? The first thing, from like a physical perspective, it actually has shown through multiple studies that in a taper period, you do actually have reduced muscle damage and also an increased activity in rebuilding your muscles and reshaping your muscles and getting them primed to go as well. So there actually is increased recovery in the taper period. And this makes sense because usually, like when you're in a training phase, you're going through the part of breaking down your muscles, right? And that's inherently like what you're doing in training and what you do for any type of adaptation, whether it's, you know, strength training or anything like that, is you're breaking down things in order for them to come back stronger so that they can be the strongest degree. So if you're running less, you're doing less quote unquote damage to the muscles in and itself, especially in your legs, and you get more of a recovery period in the taper as well. So that is something that is really, really important as well. And what's super interesting too, I actually learned this from the USCA certification for ultra running coaches, is that generally like exercise-associated muscle cramps, they're usually a result of having some sort of muscle damage pre-race. And so if you can reduce that muscle damage, which inevitably you're going to get in training no matter what, and when I say muscle damage, I don't mean injury. I just mean the typical wear and tear that you get in those long runs. If you can reduce that and also increase your body's ability to heal that before race day, you're actually going to have your muscles perform a lot better, cramp less, as shown by studies as well, and ultimately perform really, really better out there as well. Another interesting thing in terms of like physical stuff too is when you do taper, a 2013 study actually found that the taper period between 1 and 3 weeks, which we'll talk about the ideal period, that's not the ideal period, we'll talk about which is based on studies, but they showed a taper between 1 to 3 weeks actually increased your immune function. And so if it increases the immune function, that's great because no one wants to get sick before a race. It happens. I've seen many, many people have it happen to, but we don't want to get sick before race day and we want to increase our immune system. Now, when you're training, your immune function actually goes down because you're exhausting your body as well. So we don't want to continue to exhaust your body leading into the race because we don't even want to get sick, right? And when we have a better immune function, we're also going to be able to be healthier as well and have that in there for sure. So that's a big thing too. So those are the real big physical side. And then the last thing too on the physical side before I actually jump the gun on here too, is it helps to increase your glycogen scores. Now, without, people probably hear the word glycogen, they're like, what the hell is that? That is a crazy word. It is a crazy word. But basically what glycogen is, are the fuel stores inside your muscles that help to power them to keep going. So when you hear people carb loading before a race, the reason why people carb load before a race is because when you ingest carbs, it fuels your muscles with glycogen. And the more glycogen that your muscles have stored, the more it's going to be able to keep going. And think about when you are fueling in the middle of a race, one of the reasons why you ingest primarily carbohydrates is because you are trying to replenish your glycogen stores. And when you bonk in a race, it's generally because one of the reasons, there could be many different reasons, but one of the reasons could be that your glycogen levels are low and your body's trying to get energy that it doesn't currently have, or get that glycogen that it doesn't currently have, and it's kind of running up short, right? So during the taper period, it really has shown to increase glycogen stores, which is great too, as well. The more glycogen stores that we have, the better we're going to be well-fueled and ready to rip on race day. So that's the physical side of things. Where I actually see a lot more of the benefit, because I'll also talk about this, because like, even though we have like all of these like physical things too, I want to talk about like the actual impact. I truly believe, and also studies do show this as well, is that there's a huge mental benefit to tapering and a recovery benefit to tapering just from the mental side of things as well. And really, in the end of the day, when you're training, not only does it affect you physically, it affects you mentally, right? I mean, think about going through all those long runs and the speed workouts and day after day thing and like training and all that kind of stuff, right? Like, there's going to be some parts probably during the training where you're going to feel exhausted. You're going to feel a little bit more mentally run down. Like, and when you go through this taper period, it actually is shown to increase your mental freshness. And let's be honest, like the more mentally fresh that we are in an ultra marathon, the more we're going to be able to be resilient when that race gets tough. And so it gives our brain a little bit of a kind of reset, like, and to not kind of be in this cycle of just build all the way up to the race. And then we have to run 100 miles. Our brain's going to be more susceptible to tap out in that scenario just because it's not fresh and ready to go. So we give our brain a little bit more of a break because we know we're going to put it to the test on race day as well. Also too, like with the mental freshness too, it can just be a good freshness perspective from like a body perspective, because, you know, if you're training for an ultra marathon, there are likely going to be times where you're going to be sore. There's likely going to be times where there's maybe some aches and pains here and there. I don't want to normalize injury, because injury is not something that is something that every, you know, runner should face on a normality. There's usually a cause for that some way or another. But, you know, there might be some aches and pains along the way as well when you're putting in those high volumes, right? And so a lot of the times in the taper period, because you are running a lot less, like your body is likely going to feel a lot better. Now, there is a caveat to this, and something called phantom taper pains, which I'll talk about in a second, which a lot of you might have experienced. I know I've experienced this. A lot of my clients have experienced this. It is a very, very normal thing. And we'll talk about that as well. But in general, most of the time, you're going to feel a lot better from a physical perspective too. And that mentally is going to help to also just leave you more confident than if you were going to go into that a little bit more achy or sore or anything like that too. So I think there's a big, huge mental benefit to the taper as well. So those are the big things on there that I really want to kind of mention too. Now, even with all those reasons for tapering, that's like one thing that's really, really beneficial. As I mentioned before, I think some people overemphasize how important the taper is, right? I just laid out all the benefits and everything else as well, but here's actually the reality. The overall benefit from a taper is actually low. It's actually not that high. There is research studies that show that in terms of a taper, that can increase your performance well done through best practices from anywhere between 0.5, not 5%, 0.5% to 6%, with the average percentage improvement in the actual performance being 3%. 3%. So this is actually comparing in performance to no taper period at all. So really, in the end of the day, your taper. Oh my gosh, like we're just switching out words here. The taper really only increases your performance anywhere between 0.5 to 6%, with the average being 3%. And that's really, yes, of course, that is something, but it's not a significant amount. It's not like it's 20% or 30% or 40%. So in the end of the day, the taper is not going to make or break your race. Now, does that mean you shouldn't do it? No, absolutely not. I truly believe that anything that you can get to really, really, nail down the taper, I think is going to be a really, really beneficial thing. Because listen, if you can tell me something that's going to add 3 to 4 to 5%, I'm going to do that, like for sure, like in my training, as long as it's not at the cost of something else that could lead to a bigger performance. And I truly believe that there are also other things that you can do during this taper that can maximize your chances for performance outside of just the performance side as well, that can help just mentally, physically, all these kind of things as well. So I think the biggest thing is not getting too caught up on the taper, but don't take that metric to say don't do it at all. Because listen, if someone can tell you, hey, this will increase your performance by on average 3%, like, and you don't really have, in fact, like basically the taper is doing less. Like it's basically getting, like, here's the way I like to think about it. It's getting better performance in your race by doing less. Like, yeah, 100%. Like I'm taking that anytime, right? Whereas if I'm going to get this percentage increase and I have to, like, maybe it costs a lot more money or like makes me more stressed out or cuts into sleep, maybe it's not worth it as much. But the taper, you're literally getting more benefit from your race by doing less. And there's things that you can do in that time when you're doing less to actually get more out of the taper, which we'll talk about maximizing in there as well. So I say that taper, but again, it's not something that, you know, you have to like stress out to the entirety, but it will help for sure. So overall, like, what is the purpose of the taper? Going through all these things, the purpose of the taper is to really just decrease your fatigue without losing fitness. In the end of the day, that's what you need. That's what it's all about. It's all about making sure your fatigue level's down so you can increase recovery without losing fitness, so you can be as fresh both physically and mentally before the race, and it will lead to a meaningful impact as well, as long as you're doing it right. And we'll talk about what that means by doing it right as well. Now, I already talked about like demystifying the big taper fear of losing fitness too. But I also think there's another fear that can come up in the tapers that I want to talk about before I talk about maximizing the taper and the specifics and everything on there as well, right? And that is like really the fear of, you know, missing some training. So like, I'll give you an example. Let's just say maybe you had a period during, you know, your training block where you got really sick. And also too, it's not even just specific to me. Like even the USCA ultra running coach suggests this as well, but I suggest this as a coach as well. If you are sick, the best thing to do is not run, because running while you're sick can actually, number one, make you sicker. Two, it increases your chances for injury. And number three, it can actually detrain you as well. So knowing all that, let's just say you went through a period where you got really sick during training, and let's just say it maybe burned off a week. Maybe let's just go in the extreme example. Like, let's just say it burned off 2 weeks of training, right? You were bedridden, you were sick, you couldn't do those things. And, you know, you have those 2 weeks in there. Now you get to the taper period, and I'll talk about like what the duration is, but we get to the taper period, and maybe one thing that's going through the mind is like, oh, I missed those 2 weeks of training. Like, I could use these next 2 weeks of training to go on and do it as well. Here is the reality on that. The reality on that is that usually in a 2 week period in a vacuum, 2 weeks, like you're not going to see the benefit from those workouts in the race. Like let's just say you start to add in 2 extra weeks of training going into the race itself. It is very likely you're not going to realize those gains, because most gains are realized usually, like this is really at the low end, is a little bit more than 2 weeks to up to 6 weeks, depending on the intensity and everything like that. So knowing that, right, if you were trying to fit in 2 weeks of training leading into the race, you're likely not going to see the benefits, and you're also going to forego the performance increase that you do get from a taper, as well as also risking a higher potential for injury and not feeling as fresh on there as well. So it really isn't a good idea to try and cram training in lieu of the taper as well, even if you missed a certain part of it as well, right? And so one thing that I always like to do with athletes is to, you know, and this is something that you can do. This is something that you can do to reassure yourself. If your brain starts being like a total D-bag and starts being like, you need to do more on this thing, or, you know, maybe you see more people doing the taper and stuff than do, the most thing to do is, number one, is to trust your training. And two, lean on why you're doing the taper. But listen, I could totally sit here and be like, you know, trust your training and everything like that. But let's break it down to practical terms, because I don't want to be like, yeah, no, it's easier said than done. Trust the taper. I get it 100%. So here's something that you can do. What you can do is literally pull up your training logs, whether it's Strava, Training Peaks, wherever you have all your training, even if you keep it in a, you know, handy dandy notebook. Shout out Blue's Clues. Everyone remember that show? Yeah, that was cool. Dude, I love that show as a kid. All right, stay on track. So wherever you're keeping your training logs, look at the training logs and all the training that you put in, and really emphasize the parts where you nailed it. Look at the progress that you made. Do you see your pace increasing over time? Do you see yourself feeling better on the climbs? Like maybe you're climbing a lot stronger. Maybe your descending skills are better. Maybe you've just gotten more confident. Like you see the 6 or 7 hour long run that you absolutely nailed, right? Like look back on your training and see all the progress you made, and that reminds is going to help you to trust the training. And like, that's always the big thing when I say with confidence in general, which I'm sure you've heard on this podcast before, if you have been listening for a while, is that confidence is not born by just saying, trust the training, or any mantra for that matter, right? Anyone can say a fucking mantra, but if it's not true, the brain's going to come in and be like, yeah, that's bullshit. When you actually give your brain a reason to believe the thing that you're telling it, right? Trust the training. And you tell it to trust the training by actually showing the results is, you know, that's going to help to build the confidence on race day. Now, of course, the biggest caveat is what? Do the fucking training. Like, do the training and, you know, you're going to be everything. If you look back on your training and you see that maybe you were a little inconsistent, or maybe that, you know, barring any crazy extenuating circumstance, like being sick or, you know, crazy life events or things like that, if you're consistently missing workouts, especially if you just missed workouts because you didn't quote unquote feel like doing it at the time, it's going to be harder to trust the training because you don't really have anything to trust. So like, that's the most important thing, is like, if you do the training, then it's going to be easier to trust the training. It sounds like so cliche, but like, you know, it's the reality of the thing. Is like, you know, sometimes people, you know, think about like, what's the best way to build confidence in an ultra marathon? And I'd say train. like go out there and train and then show yourself that you're doing the work. Like that's like the, one of the biggest things for sure. And I did a whole episode on confidence as well. So where I go through a lot more techniques and tapers and just, you know, doing the training like that you can definitely listen to. And that's beyond the scope of the podcast. But I think that's one of the big things is just reassuring yourself that you've done the work, you put in the time to get there, and also remembering that over this 2-week period, you're not going to lose fitness and you're actually going to increase performance likely based on what the studies have shown. So that's like the other thing too is like, you know, this FOMO of like trying to run more during this period, it's not going to work out. It's going to be detrimental. So something I definitely wanted to mention on there for sure. So let's just talk about how to maximize the taper, right? Like how to maximize the taper. And I will, again, I'm going to go into how long you taper for, how to structure the taper, everything like that. But I think one of the biggest things is, you know, the taper tantrums, as I mentioned before, right? The taper tantrums. It's like you go through a whole period of training for an ultra marathon where, you know, you can be doing any training anywhere from like 6 hours to, you know, 18, 19, 20 hours in a week, like depending on like what kind of, you know, training plan you're on or like whatever coach you're working with, right? But you're putting in very long hours of time on your feet. And then when you go to the taper, you're doing less of it. And so you might be like, well, what do I do with all this free time? Well, Coach Joe is here to tell you what to do with the free time or what I would suggest to do with the free time. So I think there's two big things that three big things that I would generally suggest when it comes to how to approach the extra time in a taper to help you maximize it to the fullest. The first thing and the most important thing by far is getting extra sleep. Getting extra sleep. Now, I know even if you're sleeping well during the training period, there might be some times where sleep isn't as optimal. Or here's the reality too, like a lot of the times, like when you are high volume training, for most people, like especially, you know, people who have full-time jobs or like a busy schedule or kids or anything like that, I'm not saying like you don't have a busy schedule if you don't have those things, but I'm just giving examples here. Most people with a pretty busy schedule, which is probably likely everyone listening to this podcast, it's going to be really hard to increase sleep at the time when you are training higher volume. In an ideal world, like increasing volume and increasing sleep at the same time is such a good idea, but it is such a conundrum because the more you increase volume, the less you increase the time in the day to do the other things you need to do, right? So for the most part, sleep is generally staying stable around like the time of that as well. Again, if you have the flexibility and the means to be able to increase sleep and volume at the same time, yes, go ahead and 100% do that. But I don't recommend that as always a go-to or just because I know it's not accessible for pretty much most people as well. I know even for me, I'm training for Coca Dona and I'm on my peak period. And, you know, I've kept my sleep a little constant. I've been, you know, taking naps here and there as well, which is also a good tool to use too. But for the most part, like my sleep is relatively stable. So that being said, in the taper period, what you can do is increase your sleep because guess what? Now your volume is going down. And so if you're generally running around like 11 hours a week, right? And we'll talk about the right taper structure, but let's just say like your first week of the taper is around 6 hours. You have basically 4 extra hours in the week to go ahead and sleep. And you don't even have to sleep for the full 4 hours. You can sleep for 30 extra minutes, like each of those days that you'd be running, right? You can sleep in one day. Like I think maximizing sleep is huge because when it comes to recovery, like amidst all the things out there, massage guns and saunas and cold plunges and, you know, electrolyte therapy, that's not a thing, but like it could be a thing. I don't know. There's like so many different like recovery doohickeys and everything like that. And listen, there's some with their merits, but in the end of the day, the best thing, tried and true, by studies, by biology, by everything, the best way to recover is by getting sleep in. So I always say, if you're going to substitute the time to run, is try and do substitute it with like the time not running with as much sleep as you can. And you're going to not only feel better, you're going to recover better. You're also going to increase your immune system because also sleep does that as well. And you're going to prevent being sick. And ultimately, you're just going to feel a lot fresher and you're going to be a lot more recovered. So like for me during taper periods, I increase my sleep like crazy. Basically every extra hour that like I do in the taper, for me at least, I sleep because you don't always have to fill that extra time with just sleep. And that goes on the second thing that you can do to maximize the taper is what I call rebalancing. Rebalancing. Like, let's be honest, right? Like, listen, in a perfect utopia world, like, you know, balance in terms of all the priorities in our life would be the best thing, right? We're perfectly balanced in work. We're perfectly balanced in training. We're perfectly balanced in family. We're perfectly balanced in, you know, everything that we're doing. But let's be honest, when it comes to peak training for ultramarathons, it's likely going to skew in the direction of ultramarathoning. And I'm not saying it always has to, but for the most part, again, with busy lives, like when you get to the point where you're training for the peak, there might have to be some sacrifices that you have to make in other areas as well. And you know, first of all, I want to say God bless to all of the partners out there who are either married or in relationships with ultra runners, my wife included into that as well, because y'all are the real MVPs. Like, seriously, because, like, I mean, you know, listen, it's just, it's awesome to have partners that, you know, are going to be okay with you being out there and training. So if you're listening to this right now and you're currently in a relationship, whether you're married or with someone, text your significant other right now and say, thank you so much for just, you know, being so invested and being, you know, so supportive of my goals with ultra running as well, right? Like, man, they are the real MVP. So also shout out Lexi, love you a ton. And, that's my wife, by the way, not a random person named Lexi. Just a disclaimer. But anyways, now you know. But totally lost my train of thought on that just because we just went in a rambling. Oh, yes. Rebalancing, right? So rebalancing is a really cool thing that you can do. So during that time period, if you're not filling it fully with sleep, you can spend more time with your significant other. If you don't have a significant other, maybe there are some personal projects that, you know, you really wanted to work on that, you know, you wanted to pursue, or maybe you wanted to spend more time with friends, or maybe you wanted to, you know, even catch up on like a Netflix show that like you've been, you know, putting off. Like, whatever is going to help to rebalance the priorities in your life and bring you the most fulfillment, I think that's also a good thing to do in the taper period as well. Because here's the thing as well too, is when you do that, it almost kind of takes a little bit of the race day nerve away, because it can be easy to fill the void of that taper of the taper place with, you know, thinking about thoughts of the race, like, oh my gosh, like, what's going to happen on race day, like, what if this and blah blah blah. And sometimes one of the best things to do is just to do something else. Like, I know one of the things that I thought was just so awesome was seeing Cole Watson, who we've had on the podcast before. He just signed with Brooks. He was with Hoka before. He's finished top 10 Western States, golden ticket at Canyons 100K last year. Very, very talented athlete. One of the most talented athletes in our sport. And before Western States, when he was racing it this year, he was just spending a ton of time like fishing. And he loves fishing. He's very passionate about that. And I thought that was just so cool. It's like, wow, like pre-race going into this, he's just spending the time fishing and having fun and doing all those things as well. Like for me, like when I'm in the taper period, I know right before Cocodona, I'm going to go out and I'm going to see a comedy show. I love stand-up comedy. And like, I get a kick out of it. I actually listen to stand-up comedy sometimes when I'm doing chores around the house, just like make me laugh and everything like that. And so I'm going to go to a stand-up comedy, and I plan to spend, you know, a lot of time with my wife and being with her and everything like that. Just because like the periods of high training at Cocodona are huge. So rebalancing your priorities during that time is going to be really, really good to do. Just from not even just like a, you know, life perspective of just getting the priorities in check, but also a mental perspective too, because it's going to help to fill your cup that's going to be fulfilling and not just the areas of running as well. And it could help to take your mind off the race as well. So that would be the other thing, is like, that's what I would do to maximize the taper like as well. So in terms of things that you can do during the taper, that's the two things. Now, the third thing that I mentioned before, I mentioned those are the two big ones. And then the third one is also a good one too. Ideally doing this one like before, you know, as early as possible is usually good too. But, you know, sometimes you might have to like dial down on things in this, but this is going over the logistics and the gear and everything on race day. Now, in general, you should know, you know, as you're training, you should know what it's like between aid station in terms of distance. You should know what the terrain on the course is. You should know if you're going to have crew, what the crew is going to do out there. You should know if you're going to have pacers, when the pace is going to happen. You should know all these things. But during like that taper period, if you want to take some time just to re-review the plan, re-look over the plan, make sure that you have like everything packed and ready to go, especially if you're traveling, right? Like making sure to take the time to just make sure you have everything. That's going to be great, because like what I've seen a lot of people do, and honestly, I've been guilty of this in the past before, is like when I've been traveling for a race sometimes, you know, and this was especially true with Canes 100K earlier this year. And this was a time where, you know, I was working, I was doing the podcast and I was working full time at a tech startup. And I was basically doing like back-to-back work trips just absolutely crazy stuff during the taper period, which, you know, it wasn't more like rebalancing. It was just work just kind of came duty called in that scenario. And like, I just was so invested into work at that time, and I didn't really think about like all the stuff that I needed to bring. And I remember coming back from the work trip, and the next day I had to leave to California to go to Canyons. And I like was just in a rush, just packing everything. And I like was like, oh, am I forgetting this? Am I forgetting this? I didn't end up forgetting everything, but just like that craziness of just not ever having everything laid out and just like ready to go and everything like that. Like it just didn't like, you don't want to have over, like, you want to reduce your stress as much as possible in the taper is what I'm saying. And sometimes just looking at the plan, knowing that you have your bases covered, knowing that you have the gear, like knowing you have everything ready to go is a good thing to do. Or even just checking in with your pacers and just being like, hey, just a reminder, this and this and blah, 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 is just always a good thing to do. So basically a spot check on gear, pace strategy, pacing, like all that kind of stuff as well. And reflecting on like your goals for the race, right? Like, I think that's just a good thing just to assimilate, is just to think about the goals and everything like that. So doing a logistics check and making sure that those things are less stressful as possible in the last 2 weeks is great as well. So those are the three things that I would do to maximize the taper outside of the running itself to fill the void that's not into running as well. All right, now the moment you all have been waiting for. How long do you taper for? How do you structure the taper? Do you shake out? Do you do shake out run the day before, right? Like, what are the optimal things to do? So we're going to dive into that piece right here. Hey everybody, I want to take a quick break in this episode to talk about a game-changing recovery product that I've been using to help me recover better and ultimately perform better and reduce soreness in the middle and also after my very long run efforts, and that is Play On Relief. It is an easy, natural pain relief spray that you can spray on in seconds, and it's super, super easy to bring on your long runs or in the middle of a drop bag on the races, and it will help to reduce soreness so you can perform better. And if you want to try out Play On Relief, right now they're having a sale for 25% off their bottles, which is only $22.49 a bottle. That's $22.49. Super, super cheap. And that will last you a very long time to be able to have as much recovery on your muscles as possible in the middle of a long run, after a long run, and ultimately having you reduce soreness and perform better. So if you would like that, go to playonrelief.com or the link in the show notes, and you can get their Spring On Play On sale, which is only going to be there for a limited time as well. So make sure you get the 25% offer while you can. This product's amazing. I highly recommend you try it and use that discount that they're graciously giving you so you can reduce soreness and get out there and play on as well. Also, too, real quick, I wanted to talk about an apparel company that I partnered with that has been just so, so awesome from a perspective of stuff that just generally lasts very long. I think this is something that's a problem when it comes to running apparel and something that used to always frustrate me, right? I used to always get frustrated when it came to buying running clothes and having them rip and tear and shred. And then this company comes out with not only clothes that can last long, but they have a guarantee in case something happens where they will replace your clothes up to 5 years as well. And this is the clothes from Jonji. Now, Jonji is a running apparel company that designs t-shirts, sweatshirts, tights, shorts, everything in the whole nine yards to help you not only feel good, but look good out there on the trail as well, which looking good is important, my friends. And what's super cool is they have tons of cool designs and the clothes are just super, super comfy. I really love their all-day running tee and also any one of their shorts as well, because their shorts not only are super, super comfortable, they have tons of pockets in there. So you can put in pockets with zippers and you can also reduce the amount of stuff that you're cramming into your pack. And the cool thing is those pockets can carry things very comfortably to the point where you don't even know it. I remember when I did my Cocodona training camp, I was wearing a pair of their shorts and I had my phone zipped up in there the entire time, my phone, and I didn't feel like I had anything in there. It was really, really magical and it was awesome. And I highly recommend any of their products. So if you want to try out Jonji apparel on your next run, you can get 10% off your order by going to jonji.com, JANJI.com, or go to the link in the show notes and use code EverydayUltra at checkout for 10% off your order. That's 10% off of any sweatshirts, shirts, tights, shorts, whatever your heart desires in terms of running stuff to help you look good and feel good out there. 10% off your order, jonji.com, using the code EverydayUltra so you can get there rocking on the trail. And they have a 5-year guarantee. So if it rips in any scenarios, they will cover it totally for free. All right, everybody, thanks for listening and let's get back in the episode here. All right, so let's talk about the duration of taper. So I'm going to talk about two different kind of scenarios here. I'm going to talk about the ones that the study says that I generally recommend for most athletes, and this is the one that I follow personally. And then there's another or two other ways that you can almost shape the taper to your circumstances depending on what your race and situation is too. Because even for me, like even I'll tell you this right now, as I'm recording this, next Saturday I'm racing Istria 110K in Croatia. Yeah, as y'all know, I'm training for Cocodona, and it's like, wait, he's got another race in between that's just, isn't Cocodona close? Yes, it's very close. It's a tune-up race, which also plays into the tune-up or the taper rule that I'm going to say in here as well, so give a little bit of foreshadowing there, but you don't have to follow the taper guidelines for all the race. I think it depends on the situation, but I will start with first and foremost the thing that studies generally suggested. So there once was a study that was looking at the relationship between duration of a taper and performance improvements. And what they found in this study is that a duration of about 14 days is generally where that kind of hits the borderline. And this is a quote from the studies. This represents the borderline between positive influence of fatigue disappearance and the negative influence of detraining on performance, end quote. So basically what that says is that 14 days is the term where, you know, you have the positive influence of fatigue being lost. And then also you are touching on the place where you are not hitting the negative influence that comes from detraining, right? So just knowing that, like 14 days by studies is usually seen as an optimal time period for tapers in it as well. So 14 days is generally what the studies are showing as well. Now, I don't think you always have to follow a 14-day taper, especially the longer the race that you're going. The longer the race you can go, you can also say that you can have a little bit more of a taper. So and the reason why I say that as well is just more so from like a mental kind of perspective is because generally the higher distance race you are training for, the more volume you're likely going to be training. I don't think it's always the case. You can train for a 200 miler in the same way that you're training for a 100 miler in terms of volume, but for most people, if you're training for a specific race that's a higher distance, you're going to be putting in more time. So therefore, like you're going to have a lot more fatigue in training, assuming that like there is a one-to-one fatigue kind of ratio with the volume that you're putting in on these races as well, in those higher volume races. So especially if you're going through a period where you're building a long period of time and you're having minimal deload weeks, like that's also a thing too. Like you could be going in on like a, you know, 5 week build and then, you know, maybe that sixth week is, you know, where you kind of build and then you do the 6 or 2 week taper after that. Instead, what you can do is a 3 week taper as well. The 3 week taper is actually the one that's also suggested by USCA, the ultra running certification that, you know, I currently have and that I say is the gold standard developed by Jason Koop as well. So that third week can be useful because it can give you an extra time period in terms of, you know, just recovering yourself a little bit more. So if you're just like nose to the grindstone, just grinding on training, putting in more higher volume, you can take a third week. Now, what should be the deciding factor if you should take the third week? Should it be the distance in general? I disagree with that because for Cocodona, I'll be doing 2 week taper. For my 100 miler, I've done 2 week taper. For a 50 miler, I will do a 2 week taper. Like I will do a 2 week taper on standard unless This is my deciding factor for a 3 week taper. And this is also what I do with 3 week taper for my athletes as well. And it comes down to two different things. Number one, do you feel like you're pretty burnt, like going into that final, what would be build week, assuming a 2 week taper, right? Like if like an athlete is feeling burnt or if you're feeling burnt or if you're feeling like fatigued and just tired and just mentally just kind of not there, that might suggest that a 3 week taper might be nice because you might need a longer runway to like get your mindsets and get your mental health and also get your body back to prime state before the race. It might just need a little bit more time to do so. So like if you're just feeling like exceptionally burnt going into that kind of period, a 3 week taper is probably the way to go for that as well. The other thing about 3 week taper is like if you know, like you know personally that like you can like, because there's also like the psychological preference, right? There could be a psychological preference of just like being wanting to feel as fresh as possible for race day. Like if you want to be as fresh as possible for race day and psychologically you want to have that done, then doing a 3 week taper could be beneficial as well. Now, a lot of people are saying like, well, there's the 3 week taper that, you know, from the studies that it showed that a duration of, you know, 14 days, like kind of represents like that, in there as well. Yes. But again, remember remember the stat on the taper. It can be anywhere between 5% to, 6%. So it's not too much, but psychologically, you know, you might want to get the extra benefit on there as well. So again, that's why I generally like to stay away from that as well. But I do think there's more of a mental benefit if someone is burnt going into that race, or they're just going to get such a psychological boost from doing 3 weeks. But for the most part, I like to stick with a 2 week, and the 3 week would apply in that scenario. Now, is there a place for a 1 week taper? Is there a place for a 1 week taper, or is there a place for no taper at all? And I actually say, yes, there is. And this is actually applies to my scenario going into Istria 110K next week. And where this would apply, I believe, would be tune-up races. So tune-up races are basically races that are not your priority, but they are being done in pursuit of a larger goal to test out something, right? So I'm doing Istria 110K to basically just, you know, test my fitness, test my durability, and, you know, be able to like see where my training is at relative to Cocodona training, right? So for me, it is like, yes, I want to compete and I want to do all those things, but at the same time, like, it's not an A race to me. So for me, like, being fresh and tapered for the race, like, cause here's something that I always suggest too, and thinking about the trade-off for when you're doing tune-up races is like, cause like, all the time people say, like, should I taper in a tune-up race or not? You can taper into a tune-up race, especially like if you really want to, like, you know, send it and you want to like really see what you can do at your full potential. Like, yes, then I would say a taper on that period. And I would suggest a maximum 2 week taper for a tune-up race if you're looking to treat it like it is, you know, this big grand goal. But the one thing that you always have to say, and this is also where I kind of say, even just aside from tune-up races, where it can get really tricky if you like you stack so many races like between each other, is because, like, you know, if you were to treat every race like it is a prime race, like, you would go into that with usually a taper period and then usually a recovery period the week after, right? And so if you're doing like taper period, race, recovery, and then all of a sudden like you have another race coming up and you kind of got to like do like almost like another taper and then the race and recovery, there's no like room for training. And even if you are getting like training like 2 to 3 weeks, it's not going to be meaningful enough to really make some progress as well. So I think the big thing to ask yourself is like, what do you want to get out of this tune-up race? And so when you're looking at the tune-up race, it's like, if you want to perform it to your highest potential and you like are confident in your training and you have been doing the training, that, you know, having a taper and a deload week is going to be like totally fine in the scope of your training, then I would say go for it. Like for me, I don't mind about going into Istria 110K like 100% fresh. In fact, I would honestly kind of prefer not to be fresh because I want to test durability. And, you know, seeing that it's only 110K and Cocodona is 250 miles, I don't know how much that is in kilometers, but it's a fucking big difference. I guess that's what we'll say there. It's a fucking huge difference. You know, I don't want to go in 100% tapered. I will go in on a mini taper. So I'm doing basically a 1 week taper, but this current week, like, I'll be, you know, on track to be hitting, 15, I think 16 hour week this week, which is like, that's pretty high training, like, going into this too. So, but that's my intention. And I also want to get that extra week of training in there because for me, like, Cocodona is the goal. Istria is not the goal. It's a goal. Like, it's cool. Like, I want to go out there and do well and get some experience racing overseas. But in the end of the day, like, Cocodona is the big thing. And I'd rather just, you know, carry my training into that as well. So that's where that 1 week taper is. Now, is there a benefit to a no week taper? Like, yeah, there is for sure. If you like are trying to do it where, you know, you're just trying to put in like a really heavy week of volume, like, especially if you're doing like in a peak week for a tune-up race, right? Like, that's like where you don't really have to taper for that race. You just want to make sure that like that extra volume that you're going to put in the race is being done in a way that's ramped up with your training during the week. That's going to be safe as possible. So like, don't just like yak up your volume, like, out of nowhere, because of it as well. But that's where a no week taper could be beneficial as well. But I would say for any A race, you should have, I would say at the very least a 14-day taper, ideally a 14-day taper. And then that would be the time period on there just because it's on studies. And if you want to increase it by 1 week, whether it's due to feeling a little burnt out in training or also just feeling like you feel like you would get a bigger psychological boost from it, that's where 3 weeks can be useful as well. Now, how much do we reduce our volume by in the taper as well, right? We know what the duration is. How do we reduce our volume in the tapers as well? And generally for this one, I like to stay pretty true and true with what the studies say. And this is actually from the same study that talked about the 14-day being an ideal part of the taper. This is from the same one as well. And this is also a quote here as well. I'm quoting the research study. And that study is... open quote, maximal performance gains are obtained with a total reduction in training volume of 41 to 60% of pre-taper value. Training volume can be altered through the decrease of the duration of each training session and or the decrease of training frequency. It seems like the first strategy should be preferred because decreasing training frequency does not result in a significant improvement in performance, end quote. So, the gist of that entire paragraph is that 41 to 60% in reduction of volume in the taper is going to be ideal, and frequency can be a way to do it, but generally frequency is not the advised way to do it. So knowing this as well, you should have around a 41 to 60% decrease in volume when it comes to the taper itself, and you can keep frequency, meaning how many times you're running in a week, pretty consistent on there as well. Now to take it one step further, because it's like a 2 week taper and it's like, how do I look at like the 40 to 60%? What has generally been seen as a very, 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 very beneficial taper structure is looking at the different styles of tapering. There's what's called linear taper, where essentially like you are decreasing the volume linearly. That's the way to say it. Linearly. I promise I'm coherent over here. Basically you just kind of do like a linear decrease from week after week in terms of training, which would just be two. Then there's the exponential taper, where basically you reduce a lot of the volume up front and then the reduction kind of gets tapered closer to the race. So it's like a taper within a taper, like Inception. So that is basically, you know, the two main models as well. What has been seen to be more beneficial than not is an exponential taper. So basically tapering off pretty quickly in that first week, and then the second week not tapering off as quickly as well. So if we take that 41 to 60% kind of number as well, what generally I like to say and what I've seen really effective in terms of structuring a taper is if you're looking at your peak week of training, which is where you're going to determine the volume in your taper weeks, right? So let's just say we do peak week and then we have 2 weeks of tapering and we're looking at the first week of the taper. Generally, what I would do is look at the peak training week the week before, and I would reduce that by around 50%. And this would depend too on like the volume. Like if it's like a ridiculous amount of volume the week before, I'm likely going to keep it to a more higher percentage in terms of the taper as well, right? Like, and if it's going to be lower amount of volume, then I'm probably going to keep it to a little bit more on the lower end in terms of that thing as well, just because like we don't want the taper to be like too tiny, you know, relative to the volume that we're putting in as well. So like the higher the volume, the more that I'm probably going to do on that week on that, you know, 41 to 60% scale as well. Also to how the athlete's feeling. If the athlete's feeling like a little bit more beat up or a little bit more, you know, burnt as well, like I might modify that as well just to be, you know, just mindful of their recovery, right? So if like they're feeling like a little burnt, like I might be more so inclined to do a 45% decrease in volume, right? And so just kind of taking that into account and then just looking at that as well. And that would be that first week on there as well. So, but generally around 50% is kind of the average because it's right in the middle of that would take on to the volume of your peak week, which you determined the first week of the taper. So to give an example, let's just say 10 hours per week was your peak training week in your training plan for your next ultra marathon. And let's just say that we want to follow 50% of the volume as our first week of the taper. What you do, you would have 5 hours as the week on your first week of taper as well. Now, the second week, you would not reduce the volume to that degree as well. You would likely, you know, have that, you know, around a little bit less in terms of, you know, the volume the week prior. So this is where you're going to really take, you know, anywhere between like 40% of the week prior and a little bit lower. So you're still kind of in the bounds of that as well. But even so, that 40%, if you're taking that 40% of that prior amount, that's going to be generally around like 20 to 30% of the normal training volume of the peak week. And that is going to mirror the exponential taper. So the exponential taper is based off of, you know, the volume percent percentage of the peak week as well, but it's still staying in the bounds of that 41 to 60%. Just more so on the low end when it comes to that last week as well. So just to kind of take that more into account here, right? As we're going on our example, 10 hours of training in the first week in our peak week, right? Then we do 50% for the first week of the taper, which would be 5 hours of training. And then we're going to do 40% of that for the last week of training leading to the race. And that's going to be about 2 hours of training, which that 2 hours is going to be about 20% of your overall, right? So that's going to mimic that exponential decay on there as well. So that's generally where it would be. So and honestly, like I usually like to say, you know, from that like last period, like keeping it around 20% should be the maximum in terms of like 20% of your peak volume is really where you should be around in that leak leading up to the race, assuming if you're doing, you know, a taper period, whether it's 2 or 3 weeks. So that's generally how I would go about it in a 2 week taper. Now, a 3 week taper, right? So if we look at that 40 to 61% metric, that is based off of a 2 week taper. So therefore, if we're doing a 3 week taper, we can likely assume that we can take a little bit more volume off the top in that first week as well. And you can stick with that 61 if you want to as well. But you can also reduce that, you know, how any much you please, like given how you're going on to that as well. But you can usually take that to, I would say, more so on the high end of that 61%, following a similar principle, because you can do the 61%, but then your second week is probably going to be a little less of an aggressive decline just because, you know, the exponential taper, it's still going to be a little bit more aggressive on the top and then less aggressive towards that as well. So you can do something like 60% of the peak week, and then you can do something like, you know, 50% of the week prior to that. And then on the bottom, you can do 40% of that week on there as well. So you can be a little bit more aggressive with the decay when it comes to a 3 week taper, just because you are taking more time to do it. And that 40 to 61% is really based on a 2 week taper in and itself. But that is, you know, generally how I would suggest that for a 3 week taper as well. If you're doing a 1 week taper or basically just a recovery period before a tune-up race, really, I just say in the end of the day, just keep it to common sense, right? Like don't go crazy on the volume, everything like that. Just, you know, reduce volume by like a little bit. For Istria, like what I'm planning on doing is, so the race is on Saturday. And let's see. So starting with Monday, I will likely do a little bit of a, like probably 1 hour easy shakeout run. Tuesday, I'll probably do an hour easy shakeout run. And then Wednesday, we're flying over. So I probably won't do anything because it's a long flight over to Europe. Thursday, probably do a little bit of a shakeout run as well. Probably an hour-ish, maybe 45 minutes. And then probably the day before, if anything, I might do 30 minutes. So just keeping it very easy and everything like that too. So because the taper benefit in terms of, you know, the 1 day really isn't going to show much of a difference, you can basically just use common sense. And that's what's suggested most by USCA as well, in terms of just like the going into a non-goal race into the taper as well. So that one, you can just use common sense. You can kind of almost take it like a deload week in itself. And then, I wouldn't say you don't have to get too caught up on the specifics, but definitely do some running. That doesn't mean don't fucking run at all, but like do some running as well. Now, there is also something that is not just the volume to look out for, but it's also the intensity. So intensity is something that you should maintain in the taper because that's also going to help to maintain your fitness as well. And so when I say intensity, that is going to be the rate of perceived effort or the, you know, heart rate zone that you're going to be going at a high intensity, assuming that you're doing those things in the training. If most of your training is easy runs, which could be the case for some people, then you're going to maintain that same amount of easy runs throughout the taper as well. But let's just say maybe you're doing one tempo run a week, or maybe you're doing a few steady state runs, which in other words are basically like aerobic threshold runs, which without getting into the too nitty gritty of it, is just a 4 to 5 RPE style run that you're doing to elicit that aerobic threshold in there as well. Again, this is beyond the scope of the podcast, but basically looking at the intensity that you're doing in the week, let's just say it's one tempo workout or two tempo workouts, and trying to match that in that first week of the taper itself. So like for me, like generally, like I will either do in a buildup period, and even when I'm working with athletes, for most races, I'll have them do either, you know, one tempo workout a week and one steady state, or two steady state workouts a week if they're doing faster interval work. Sometimes some people are just doing easy runs. But if they are doing some sort of interval work, I will maintain that level of intensity going into their last or their first week of the taper. So in that first week of the taper, like if they're doing one tempo run a week, and let's just say they're doing five other runs that are just easy efforts, I will still keep a tempo effort in the week leading into the race or into the first week of the taper itself. The second week, I would not put it in there because they're going to get that intensity effect likely in the race itself. So it's not needed in the second week, but the first week you want to maintain that intensity. So if you're doing two steady state workouts, you might want to have two steady state workouts in that first week of the taper. If you're doing one tempo run, you want to have that tempo run in there. If you're doing two tempo runs, you want to have two tempo runs in there as well. You want to maintain the intensity that you were having and you want to decrease the volume. So intensity is maintained, volume is decreased. And on the last week, it's basically just easy runs into the race itself. And that will help to optimize the taper as well, for sure. So that is just one thing in terms of how to structure it, in terms of volume and everything before, all that kind of stuff as well. Now, the last thing I'll touch on here, and this is a question that I get a lot, is should I do a shakeout run the day before? Now, there really isn't, at least to what I could find, there hasn't been like good studies that show a lot about a shakeout run's effectiveness and performance and stuff like that. So when it comes to a shakeout run, when there's usually not a lot of studies out there, and given that a shakeout run, maybe at maximum, at the very, very high end, is probably going to be, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. I don't prescribe shakeout runs like that, and I don't do shakeout runs. Usually, like at max, my shakeout run that I'm doing is 30 minutes, but generally like to keep it around 20 minutes because it's so short. And really, the whole purpose of that is just to make the legs keep moving and fresh and things like that. I always say the shakeout run is personal preference. For you, if you feel like that you want to be as off your feet as much as possible, you want to be your legs as well rested for a jaunt as well, then I would say don't have to do a shakeout run. If you feel like you want to keep the legs flowing, or maybe you traveled for a race and you have been sitting on a plane, you want to get it rocking and rolling a little bit just the day before the race, then I would say go ahead and do a shakeout run. I know for me at Istria, like just being on a plane basically all of Wednesday, I'm probably going to want to shake out the legs a little bit, maybe like 20, 30 minutes, nothing crazy. You know, the day before the race. But, you know, there's been times where I've even intended on a shakeout run, but like the day even got too busy with like bib pickup and everything like that, where I was just like, eh, whatever, doesn't matter. So shakeout run, personal preference. If you feel like it's going to help you, if you want to go out there and do it, go ahead. If you don't want to do it and you want to kick up the feet and just keep them well rested for tomorrow, that is a-okay, my friend. That is a-okay. So just know for a shakeout run, you can have that if you want. If you don't want, the world is your oyster when it comes to shakeout runs, my friend. So that is what that would be my suggestion on the taper period overall. Oh, and one last thing, because I know I mentioned that I would talk about this, but these are the phantom pains that come in a taper. So this has happened to me personally. It's happened to several athletes that I've coached. It's also well reported if you search on Google of many different people going through and figuring out these things. So, or I should say not figuring out, but experiencing these things is basically during a taper period where you're reducing volume, all of a sudden you might like feel like some random aches and pains everywhere. I'm not talking about injury, but I'm talking about just like random like aches and pains and things like that throughout the thing. Now, this is something that's normal to feel during these times for two reasons. Number one, your body's going through like an increased healing phase, right? It's going through an increased healing phase. And sometimes when you're doing when you're having like an increased healing phase, it might go through and basically just be a little bit more sore. Think about like sometimes when you are running a really hard long run, or maybe you're lifting legs in the gym or something, and all of a sudden the next day, like your legs are a little sore, like that DOMS, what they call it, like delayed onset muscle soreness, isn't inherently like the recovery of those things, but during that period, your muscles are recovering as well. So it might just be a little bit of delayed recovery that's kind of coming in as well. The other thing too is there's a psychological component to this as well. And that psychological component is because you're a lot fresher during this period, not just physically, but mentally as well. And when you are a lot more fresher mentally, you do have a bigger emphasis and hyper awareness of what's going on in your body. Whereas before, if you weren't as hyper aware of what's going on in your body, maybe a little bit more fatigued, maybe just a little bit more kind of run down a little bit, you might not notice aches and pains. And here's the reality too, like your brain might just kind of pass those things off as like almost like a non-issue, because the logic is going in your brain of saying, hey, like we're in peak training right now. Like I got a little bit of an ache here, but like this is a given on this as well. Whereas the expectation of pain during the time period of when it comes to a taper period is that you are as fresh as possible. So every, like even the smallest little thing that may, that in reality could be a non-issue, you know, in just even day-to-day training, you might be so hyper aware of that. And because like your brain is a mismatch between like what you should be feeling and maybe what you're feeling in the body, it can overemphasize like what that little ache could mean in the end of the day. So just know that like, as long as it's not like a, you know, glaring injury or something that's getting worse and worse and worse, because usually a lot of these phantom taper things, they'll go away like after a day or after a run or after like a few hours or things like that too. As long as it's not a glaring injury, it is likely a phantom taper pain. And when I say phantom taper, it doesn't mean like that pain is not real. That ache could be real, but it could just be a point where, you know, it's just a little regular ache. I know even sometimes, you know, even, you know, when you're running sometimes, like, you know, maybe for a little bit, after the run, like you just feel a tad bit tight or anything like that, right? And, you know, sometimes it's normal and then it goes away like after, you know, an hour or so or whatever. That could be just something you're hyper focusing on, or your brain's kind of like creating this overstory as well. So obviously, if it is an actual pain and it is getting worse and it is pretty significant, obviously that's something to get checked out. It's likely not to happen in the taper period, which is also why most of the time it could be a phantom taper pain. So just see, I would always say, like, don't be alarmed by the first time you hear it. See how it continues to react through the taper and even just throughout the rest of the day. And, you know, don't try and like go into a death spiral as soon as you see that. See the ache for what it is. Assess how serious it is, and assess how little it might be, and then see if it goes away. And if it goes away, likely to be a non-issue. But if it persists and it gets worse, that is definitely something to look into. So just want to talk about the phantom pains real quick, that they do happen at times. They don't happen to everybody, but they do happen at times, especially if we can be so hyper aware of our body during this time period. But again, if it's an actual pain, definitely get it checked out for sure. And that's the whole episode on the taper here. Who knew that I could speak about an hour talking about the taper period? But I wanted to give you a comprehensive guide on a taper and just kind of demystify it and also talk about its importance, while also talk about like why it's not as important and how to do it in the smart way. Because as I said in the beginning of the episode here, a taper is not going to lead to a decrease in fitness if you do it the right way. And I want to make sure that you're doing it the right way, that you're structuring it the right way, so you get that increase in performance, not just physically, but mentally on race day, to hit your biggest ultra goals. By the way, one thing too, I am an ultra marathon coach and I do help ultra athletes hit their biggest goals. And currently we're working with tons and tons of athletes. I've worked with over 50 athletes personally to help them hit their biggest ultra goals. And I would love to help you do the same as well. Now, currently my personal roster is full, but actually we are adding coaches onto the Everyday Ultra team and they're going to be personally trained by me. You're still going to get access to ask me questions and everything like that too. So if you are interested in being coached through the Everyday Ultra philosophy, backed by science, backed by study, all of our coaches are going to be USCA certified as well. Please send me an email at everydayultrapodcast@gmail.com. And even if you want to work with me personally, you can opt for a wait list to work with me directly. You know, sometimes athletes might move on because they're taking time off running or anything like that. So if a spot opens up and you want to be on a wait list to work directly with me, then you can also request that as well. Just know that any coach that you work with on the Everyday Ultra team will be get you the same results that you would get working with me as well. And you will still get access to me through group training calls and group coaching calls, and also into the Everyday Ultra Slack community where you can ask me questions too. Just know that that is an experience that you will still get under the Everyday Ultra experience. So feel free to reach out to me at everydayultrapodcast@gmail.com. You can also send me a DM on Instagram at Joe Corcione, but in full transparency, I don't check DMs as often. So it might go a few days before I see that. Whereas emails, I'm usually pretty quick to respond, relatively more quick to respond. And so yes, if you're interested in coaching, let me know and we can get you rocking and rolling and tapered for your next ultra marathon. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening for this podcast. I appreciate you a ton. And remember, my friends, be a better endurance athlete every day. And we will talk real soon. Take care and enjoy the taper.